This is Word of Mouth from New Hampshire Public Radio. I'm Taylor Quimby in for Virginia Prescott. London, England's iconic black taxis aren't just smart-looking. Their drivers are known for having an encyclopedic knowledge of the city's thousands of streets, buildings, and tourist attractions. In fact, the legendary test that every London cabbie has to take before earning his or her green badge is called the knowledge, and it's arguably one of the most difficult examinations in the world. Jody Rosen is critic at large for T, that's the New York Times style magazine, and he recently wrote about the knowledge and whether this very British institution still has a place in a world with GPS and ride-sharing services like Uber. Hi, Jody.
Hi, Taylor.
So what does it take to get your green badge and become a London cabbie?
Well, you have to learn the city, and that's a bit of an understatement. What it takes is you have to pass this test, as you said, called the knowledge, which is an oral examination, which is administered in a series of stages over a period of months and years. The long story short is you have to commit to memory all of the 25,000 streets that fall within the 6-mile radius of Charing Cross, which is the kind of putative center point of modern London. So you have to memorize all the streets and how to navigate them. That is, you know, which way they run, where the kind of traffic circles are, where dead ends are, one-way streets, etc. But not only do you have to memorize all the streets, you have to memorize everything on the streets. So that means anything from a restaurant to, you know, literally a laundromat to major buildings like museums and government offices and, you know, embassies, hospitals, places of worship, et cetera, et cetera. It's an extraordinary feat to commit all this to memory, and the way that prospective cabbies, or as they're called, knowledge boys, or in some cases these days, knowledge girls, go about doing this is they lease or buy motor scooters, mopeds, motorcycles, and spend often years circumnavigating the city, riding the streets, and committing them to memory through a kind of elaborate process. Generally speaking, there's no sort of hard and fast statistics on this, but it takes most people about 4 years to do this.
Tell me a little bit about the exams. You said that you have a series of exams where you're face-to-face with an examiner. What are the kinds of details that they're asking students of the knowledge to zero in on?
Yeah, so the way it works is it's, as I say, an oral exam, and it consists of having to recite routes from point A to point B. So you go into a little examiner's room, an examination room. All the knowledge examiners are themselves taxi drivers who have, by definition, passed the knowledge at some point in their lives. It's sort of a very formal process. You're supposed to wear a suit and tie and address the examiner formally, yes, sir, no, sir.
Very British.
Very British. But they'll say, okay, take me from Emirates Stadium, that's where Arsenal, the soccer team, plays in North London, take me from there to such and such a pub. You know, so sometimes the points, as they call them, the point A and point B, can be extremely obscure. So you first have to identify the location of points A and B, okay? You have to say where the London Aquarium is and where the V&A Museum is. And then you have to name all the streets along the way. You have to recite the route along the way, naming every street and every turning as you go. And you also have to sketch the straightest line possible. So you're being judged by the examiner, not just on your ability to say, name all the streets correctly. You have to navigate efficiently.
Westminster Bridge, left York Road, right Addington Street, left Westminster Bridge Road, forward St George's Circus, lead by Borough Road, forward Harper Road, left Swan Street, County Court on the left, I think.
Think or no?
No.
I'm speaking with Jody Rosen, critic at large for the New York Times Style magazine, who recently wrote about The Knowledge. That's London's grueling taxi driver test. And he also wrote about whether it makes sense to have cabbies memorize maps in an age where you can pretty much just follow the GPS. So what's the incentive for a London cabbie to spend 4 years or more training to become a taxi driver? Do they make a lot of money?
They do make a good living. For one thing, the cost of a London taxi is the cost of a fare is forbiddingly high. There was a recent study which found that the average cost of a ride in a London black cab is about $43. And London cabbies get to keep what they earn, so they can make a good living if they put in the hours. The other thing that nearly every taxi driver will tell you is that they like the freedom because you make your own hours, you are your own boss, you get to decide when you work, when you knock off. So often guys will work, you know, for 3 weeks straight, and then they'll take a week off.
Do you have a sense of what an average salary would be?
You know, it's all anecdotal, but I know many cabbies have told me kind of sotto voce because they don't like to talk about this stuff, but they've kind of whispered to me that, yeah, you know, they make about what works out to about $100,000 a year. That is guys who work real hard, who put in 12-hour days, you know, 5-6 days a week. That's what they take home. And that's, you know, that's good money, especially when you don't have to answer to anybody but yourself. And, you know, most of the people who do this are not highly educated. I mean, this isn't true across the board, but they're not highly educated. This is a blue collar profession, and that's good money for someone who's never had any higher education.
So, Jody, do you know if the ubiquity of GPS or ride sharing apps like Uber has that been cutting into their business? Is this something that's been talked about?
It has been cutting into their business, and it's very much a concern, and has kind of roiled the industry over several years. Well, there are a couple different things that are going on. For a long time, London black cabs had a monopoly on taxi traffic in London. And then a few decades back, we saw the rise of, as they're called over there, mini cabs, which are taxis that you can call up over the phone and order a cab. So the rise of the mini cabs really upset traditional London taxi drivers who'd done the knowledge, because they said they're cutting into our business. The rides they're getting should rightfully be ours. And that question sort of obsessed the industry for a while, but that's been kind of these days surpassed by the rise of Uber, which is, you know, has arrived in London over the last couple of years and has really, really significantly cut into their business. And of course, there are disputes right now in London about technically what Uber is, because what the black cab industry insists that they are operating on a meter, that their ride sharing app is effectively a meter.
An unregulated taxi cab.
An unregulated taxi cab. So there was a big, big demonstration last summer, a kind of rally, where black cabbies kind of pulled all their cabs in together and stopped in the middle of the road for about an hour to protest what they view as Uber's unregulated business practices. And then you asked about GPS also. And of course, GPS poses a big existential threat to the black cab industry and to the knowledge because, of course, you know, before the rise of GPS, it was obvious why a guy who had this specialized knowledge was at an advantage. Well, lots of people say today, if I have a GPS in my car, I'm just as good as a London cabbie.
Is that the case?
At the moment, no. Because, what a London cabbie will tell you is, look, London is a very dense and dynamic terrain. It's changing all the time. There are kind of road works and construction sites that go up. Roads get closed all the time. You have to make sort of quick decisions when there's traffic or an accident. And if you're following your GPS and that's the only way around, you can't sort of take evasive action quickly. If you pick someone up in Piccadilly Circus, you've got 7 different turnings and you've got a decision to make right away. You don't have time, a London cabbie would argue, to like enter an address in the little GPS on your dashboard. So at least at the moment, I would agree that the knowledge is better for the moment than a machine. And in fact, there's been some staged races between someone following the GPS and between London cabbies, and the London cabbies usually win those.
Well, but let's get to it. The truth is that you say now because you're implying that someday that will change.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, you know, the rate of technological change and refinement is such that one expects that fairly soon there will be, you know, an algorithm will be developed which will make GPS highly, highly efficient, even more efficient than a London cabbie. Maybe it'll be voice activated. Maybe we'll all be getting around using driverless Google cars. So in that sense, it does feel like the knowledge is imperiled, to say the least. And the argument that I make in the piece is that there are reasons beyond the simple efficiency why the knowledge is beautiful, you might say, and should be actively preserved. And also, it for the moment at least, is quite efficient.
Jody Rosen is critic at large for T, the New York Times Style magazine, and he recently wrote about the knowledge, whether this very British institution still has a place in a world with GPS. Jody, thank you so much for being with us.
Thanks a lot.